When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, not so professionally, Christian. You don't look like a professor tonight, but Nate is rocking a Dynasty Rewind t-shirt. Got to be honest with you, the one that Nate has on, probably one of my favorite designs. White t-shirt with the Rewind. It's kind of like a washed, we would say it's like washed out kind of, because it's not as bold as like the black shirt.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but I love it. And link is down below. Pick up a shirt. Look cool doing your draft. And you know what? If you're participating in Scott Fishbowl and you are doing a live draft, what better place to wear a Dynasty Rewind shirt?
Absolutely.
Than there. And you could say, hey, this may be redraft, but I'm going to absolutely slaughter the rest of you because the Rewind crew has got me set up.
That's right. I always wear my Dynasty Rewind shirt when I'm at the airport, when I'm, you know, when I know I'm going to be sitting somewhere for a while in public, because hey, it's free marketing, right, Mike?
True. It is. And it's just, it's a great looking shirt too. We got to be honest with you. Shout out to Gretchen, who designed our logo. So thank you for the best logo. That, in case you're wondering, the font on that is her personal handwriting. So that font does not exist.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's custom.
Pretty cool. You know what else is custom too? Making tough dynasty decisions based on your roster and your roster alone. Today, we're looking at probably one of the most, I don't even know how to describe this position, Nate. Frustrating?
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. One of the most frustrating positions in fantasy football. This applies to both redraft and dynasty or any other format. That is the running back position. So we're going to be making some hard decisions with buying, selling, holding, avoiding specific running backs. So let's get into it. Let's start talking about our first running back, and that is Miami Dolphins running back Devon Achane. Nate, what are you doing with Devon Achane?
You know, right now I'm avoiding Devon Achane.
Well, guess what? I'm holding Devon Achane. But I'll tell you what. Okay. Why would you avoid the running back four from 2023 who averaged 17.8 fantasy points per game? Is it because of Jalen Wright?
It's not because of Jalen Wright. It's a little bit because of Jalen Wright, but also they re-signed most of, they put him on a 2-year extension. So they're making sure that he's going to be there. And I know Mostert's like 32 at this point, but whenever he's been on the team, especially these 49ers teams, the Dolphins team, this Shanahan style offense, he excels. I mean, we're talking about the guy who was leading the league in touchdowns last year. Raheem Mostert is not a scrub. I don't think he's washed either. I think he's actually got plenty left in the tank considering how old he is. So you have this like three-headed backfield of Mostert, you got Achane back there, and now you have Jalen Wright, who I'm not too worried about this season. I think he is relevant enough to, you know, matter in this kind of discussion. But at the end of the day, there's just a three-headed backfield that I don't really want a piece of when we're talking about someone who's, you know, a top 6-7 RB in a lot of rankings. You know, I love the upside in him, but the week-to-week inconsistency, not just with his skill set, but also with the opportunities in the backfield, that's what concerns me. When there's other running backs I'd rather have above him, or I'd rather just wait on a running back later in startups, or just go try to acquire some cheaper running backs. Just this value for running back right now is not my favorite area. You know, you got Devon Achane there. You got Kyren Williams there, who I'm a known hater.
We hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I know, right? Travis Etienne's even there, who I'm kind of on the fence about. But like, you got this like 5 through 10 running back rankings I'm just not buying at the moment at their values.
Oddly enough, Raheem Mostert had his first ever 1,000-yard season last year at the age of 31. So in the league since 2015, he's only played in 90 games and started 38. So the definition of while he's aging has some tread left on the tires, Nate.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know what? I'm still going to go ahead. I'm going to hold on to Devon Achane. I don't want to sell a guy. I mean, we invested high draft capital last year. We saw what he did, 17.8 fantasy points per game. I mentioned that before. I'm just not ready to give up on a first-round pick that's been productive. It's not like guys like Quentin Johnston, Treylon Burks, even Drake London you could lump in there. These guys were high picks as well, but they have not lived up to the expectations. Devon Achane has lived up to those expectations. He got a little banged up last year, but that's the position. You know, that's just the position. And I think Devon Achane and Jalen Wright are the future of the Dolphins' backfield for what it's worth. So it's one of those things too. I understand that they re-signed Mostert. They drafted Jalen Wright. Mostert misses time. We know that. Wright's a rookie, and he wasn't as highly regarded or drafted in this past cycle as Achane was the year before.
So. Yeah, you know, this whole narrative of, okay, well, Jalen Wright's a day three pick, but they traded up to get him, and they spent a future third on him, so let's pretend to give him day two draft capital. Sorry, friends. That's not how it works for me. He's still a day three running back. I appreciate the loopholes we're trying to draw in there to not make him a day three running back, but come on.
It's like last year when the Eagles drafted a defensive back, Keely Ringo, however you say it, in the fourth round. Like, wow, they traded a 24 for third to get him, so he's really a third-round pick. I'm like, just stop. And then they drafted two better cornerbacks a year later. Like, just this could be a similar situation. Jalen Wright could be gone next year or rendered irrelevant. I hope not. I like Jalen Wright, but you know, it's the running back position. Mm-hmm. We know how it is. But let's get to our next players and let's talk about a backfield duo. And this is the Cincinnati backfield duo of Chase Brown and Zach Moss. Nate, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm buying into this backfield, specifically Chase Brown more so than Zach Moss, but I am buying into this backfield.
I'm gonna avoid this backfield for right now.
Oh, see, I usually avoid backfields with the unknown, but in this instance, look, Zach Moss, RB36 on keep trade cut, Chase Brown, RB38 on keep trade cut. These guys are not expensive. They're very accessible. I mean, I can pick up more, like Chase Brown, for example, who I do like in this situation. I could trade Zach Moss for Chase Brown, which is what I would do. I do like Chase Brown more so in this situation. He's got the receiving upside, I think, in this situation. Also, we've heard the coaches say that they brought Zach Moss in to compliment Chase Brown, not the other way around. So, you know, if I can trade a guy like Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy to go get one of these backfield, I mean, we're talking about an offense that could be really productive, and it's going to be one of these two guys. If it's a little bit of both, that's still in a most builds where you're not having two top 10 running backs, these guys are probably going to fit into one of your two running back slots. I mean, I think they're going to be that productive.
I will say this before people are out there calling you crazy, like, why would I trade those guys to get the, this is what you're going to pay to get a starting caliber running back. That being said, I'm still going to avoid because I don't like the unknown. And a lot of times when people ask me this player, that player, sometimes the best answer is look elsewhere. And to me, for what you're paying for both of these guys, you could just go ahead and trade for New York Giants running back Devin Singletary.
Ooh,
your average 4.5 yards per carry. They've been trying to replace him everywhere he goes, and it just hasn't worked out. 9.8 fantasy points per game last year in Houston. He wasn't supposed to be the guy, all right? 969 all-purpose yards last year. I'm not including any kick returns or punt returns or anything like that. It's rushing and receiving. There's really not a lot of competition in New York either. We got Eric Gray and Zach Earmuffs. Tyrone Tracy is there as well. And then after that is just a lot of doo-doo. I mean, there's really not a lot going on there. You could also move guys like Austin Eckler, Roshan Johnson, and in one quarterback league, like a mid-second, Josh Palmer, if you're not a believer, Michael Mayer, a lot of people might be down on him because Brock Bowers is there, and Jerome Ford valued similarly on keep trade cuts. So those are some moves that you can make, and I think, honestly, I understand what you're saying. I think a guy like Singletary might be a better bet than those two dudes.
He's got more of a backfield share than either one of those, probably.
Do you think it's crazy that, forgive me, the Cowboys would not pay Zach Moss $4 million a year? Then they go ahead and re-sign Ezekiel Elliott. I saw somewhere that Ezekiel Elliott is getting more from his last contract in Dallas than his current one. Oh, Dallas Cowboys quietly having one of my favorite offseasons.
All in, man. All in.
All in the tank. Let's get to the next running back. This is Green Bay Packers running back Josh Jacobs, no longer with the Raiders. Nate, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm holding on to Josh Jacobs where I have him.
I'm going to sell him. But why are you holding?
I'm holding because, look, Josh Jacobs has been productive throughout his entire career. And while the efficiency has not been great over the last 2 years, he's going into a really efficient offense. This offense, not only efficient through the air last year, but also it was really efficient through the ground as well. You know, their offensive line came together and Aaron Jones looked good back there. A.J. Dillon, who we know that at this point, the Packers really aren't too invested in him, that he's very easy to cut after this season. And they drafted Marshawn Lloyd to be their new backup running back. So I think Josh Jacobs is really going to have the large share of workload there. Marshawn Lloyd's going to get his, I think, when we get into the season. But Josh Jacobs, you're looking at an offense that's going to score a lot of points. I think Josh Jacobs is going to have opportunities along the goal line. He's a guy that can catch the ball at the backfield as well. So while we've talked about the one-year contract, the two-year contract, whatever it is, I think that he's going to be enough for my productive teams to hold on to him because, hey, it's hard to come by good running back production. And I think he'll give you that this year, but not really looking to actively go buy him because I do have worries about his long-term viability for my teams.
I get that. Are you worried about A.J. Dillon being there at all?
I'm not worried about A.J. Dillon at all. I'm more worried about Marshawn Lloyd than A.J. Dillon at this point. But Mike, Josh Jacobs has very little tread left on his tires.
He does. 1,317 total carries. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And he's also coming off the lowest yardage and touchdown total of his career, 805 yards, 6 touchdowns. But in all, you know, full transparency, he did miss 4 games last year. He had a quad strain. Otherwise, he's been pretty durable in his career. That being said, you know, he's become more inefficient as time went on after that really record-breaking season that he had a few years back. So I'm ready to move on. If I can get a late first for him, maybe somebody's a little more optimistic, like my podcast co-host is here. Or a very, very early second, like the 201, and see if I can get a fourth or something on top of that. I filled this out before Rashee Rice assaulted somebody in a nightclub, so I did have him on here. I didn't have a chance to change it. Guys like Davante Adams, Mike Evans, I think they're going to be more productive overall this season and probably within the next year or two. And in one quarterback, I think I could still pull late first, maybe even Jaden Reed. If I could move him, even if I had to put a little on top to get Rashad White, I would do that. And Trevor Lawrence, because I hate to break it to people, but quarterbacks matter in one quarterback leagues too, by the way. So whenever someone says, oh, this doesn't matter in this league, okay, then don't put that in your starting lineup. See how that works out for you. Nate, we had mentioned this player before, and that is former New England Patriots running back, and now current Dallas Cowboys running back again, Ezekiel Elliott, buying, selling, holding, avoiding. I can't believe what I'm seeing here, but what are you doing?
I am buying Ezekiel Elliott, Mike.
I'm avoiding.
Come on. Rico Dallas
season, baby.
I love Rico, but look, I know exactly how this is going to go with Zeke. They re-signed him. You know, he's probably not going to be super efficient, but, like, who else do they have there? He's going to get a bulk of the carries. And then the thing is, Zeke's going to have, like, 15 touchdowns this year because he's just going to get, like, that goal line work, and it's just going to be dumb, and he's going to end up with, like, an RB11 season for some dumb reason, and everyone's going to be like, what the heck? Why does Zeke have an RB11 season, you know, after he went to the Patriots and came back to the Cowboys? It's not because Zeke is necessarily back to being Zeke, but you look at that backfield, and I love Rico, you know that. But
we know
Zeke is going to get the majority of the work, especially the work that matters around the goal line. And at the end of the day, I mean, scoring touchdowns really helps you out with fantasy football. So I'm buying into him right now because I can get him for a third pretty easily. People are not sold on Zeke, even though he's the obvious RB1 for the Cowboys at this point. I don't see them going anywhere else. I mean, they actively avoided running backs in the draft because they knew they had Zeke coming back. So they're invested in him in many different ways. As you said, the contract from before, the contract now, they're just invested in this guy being the leader of the backfield. And hey, if I can get him for a third, a 25 third even, you need this kind of running back depth when you get into the season.
You know, they probably could have drafted Audric Estime if they wanted to,
you know,
similar to Zeke right now, but I just cannot believe how they avoided running back just overall this entire offseason. But I'm just going to go ahead and avoid. I might just avoid this backfield as a whole, even though I don't hate the values that you were telling me. Another guy coming off career low in yards and touchdowns, 642 and 3. I understand he wasn't supposed to be the guy, but the only reason he was relevant at all was to Ramondre Stevenson missing time last year. He missed 3 games with an ankle sprain. Got a couple other injury reports that popped up, nursing another ankle sprain and thigh bruise. So he was banged up. And, you know, is he a better option than future Dynasty Rewind Hall of Fame running back Rico Dowdle? I don't know, man. But you know what? Honestly, Zeke, he's running back 61 on Keep Trade Cut right now. I'd probably rather target Carolina Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard. He's running back 59. And I understand Jonathan Brooks is there. This is a one-year rental situation, which you can't tell me that Zeke wouldn't be the same thing. You can move, guys. We're talking values here. A late third, Khalil Herbert, Nate Nearmuffs, Tank Bigsby, Rondale Moore, and in a one quarterback league, like an early third, Jaleel McLaughlin, similar value, Khalil Herbert again, and Antonio Gibson. So
if you had Zeke and I offered you a 25 third, you would take it?
If I had Zeke on my roster right now?
Yep.
Well, I mean, I would try to get more. I would need $3 worth of fab, Nate.
Oh, well, of course. I know, 25 third, $3 of fab.
I would strongly consider it depending on where I projected that third to fall into.
Well, I'm getting Zeke, so obviously it's going to be a 312. Huh. Like I said, got RB1 season coming in for Zeke. Get ready.
Lofty expectations. By the way, that trade we did that have the $3 fab in it?
It did.
Yeah, very good. Just making sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get into it again. We're talking about another backfield duo. This is the Los Angeles Chargers backfield duo of J.K. Dobbins and Gus the Bus Edwards. Nate, what are you doing?
You know, I'm buying into one half of this duo. I'm buying into Gus Edwards. I am actively avoiding J.K. Dobbins as much as I love Dobbins.
Same. Just same across the board.
Yeah, you know, I think this is the ideal situation for Gus. You know, you go into the Greg Roman offense again, you go with another Harbaugh. They know what they're getting out of Gus. Gus has been productive when called upon. And if you remember, like halfway through the season last year, Gus was up there for the lead league in touchdowns.
He was.
He was one of the best at getting in the end zone. And we have a Chargers team that's going to run the ball. We're going to see that again. We're going to see the production from Gus. I think we're looking at a top 24 season out of him. And right now you can get him for a third round pick. You can get him from Michael Wilson, Curtis Samuel. There's some guys I would throw around for Gus. Dobbins, I'm staying away from. Too many injuries. As much as I love the player, I'm not investing anything at this point. I think I'd much rather go after Kamani Vidal in the end of the third round, early fourth, than I would go after J.K. Dobbins with anything.
I think we'll be talking about Kamani Vidal on the next podcast, so I don't want to dive into that too much. But I'm in agreement. Like I said, man, and I was a huge J.K. Dobbins fan when he came out of Ohio State. I thought the Baltimore Ravens were the perfect landing spot for him. Unfortunately, it's just not panned out for him. But, man, Gus Edwards, talk about Steady Eddie. This guy's coming off his best season at 28 years old, 810 yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. Not much in the way of receiving, though. Did have a career high, 12 receptions for 180 yards, though, which isn't bad. Maybe he'll catch some more passes out there Los Angeles. I don't know. I mean, they threw a lot to Austin Eckler over the years. So just love Stedding. And, hey, look, plenty of tread on the tires, even though he's 28, 699 career rushing attempts. And, by the way, did you know that J.K. Dobbins has missed 42 career games in 4 seasons?
Believe me, I know.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to avoid him, but I will definitely buy. And you know what you can get Gus for right now? Guys, like, he's valued around Tucker Kraft, Jalen Hyatt. And this is all because of them drafting Kamani Vidal and signing J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Allgeier, late third, and in one quarterback, Matthew Stafford, Rico Dowdle, and a mid third. Mm-hmm. These are all keep trade cut values right there. So let's move on. Nate, looks like we might be in agreement here on Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Rashad White. Tell us what we're doing.
We are holding Rashad White because we're not that scared of Bucky Irving as much as we like Bucky. Rashad, look, for certain, part of that RB4 finish last season was because of volume. And there's going to be a little, you know, step back in volume with Bucky there. I do think Bucky's going to eat into his workload a little bit. But at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to see, you know, Rashad White not be the RB1 in that backfield. Still not, he's still going to get 70, 75%, maybe even 80% of that work out of the backfield. So with Baker Mayfield and that offense, you know, continuing to gel, they've now committed to him long term. They brought back Mike Evans. Rashad White gets back in there. He's going to be catching passes. And that's, you know, anything you want out of a running back, catching passes at a high volume, you love to see that. He lets him, you know, maybe have some more rest, maybe be more efficient with his touches. If he's more efficient but has less touches, then I don't know why we couldn't have a similar season to last year. Maybe not quite RB4, but I do think he can get back into like that RB10 to 15 range without a doubt, you know, even with a guy like Bucky there or Sean Tucker.
And I mean, look at what's behind them. Do any, just tell me, I'll name a guy, you tell me if he instills any fear. Touches from Rashad White. Chase Edmonds.
Oh, no.
Sean Tucker.
A little bit.
Hasn't happened yet.
Actually. Hasn't happened yet. I wish it instilled some fear in me because I used to be a huge Sean Tucker fan, but
actually,
so far.
Dropped him in a league the other day. Needed to make room. And Patrick Laird.
Patrick Laird.
I'll kick it around, man. Look, throw some stats out there. 15.8 fantasy points per game, and he's above average receiver as well. 64 receptions, 549 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I'm holding. I'm putting him in my starting lineup, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Mm-hmm. Nate, what are we doing with Arizona Cardinals running back James Conner?
We are both holding him, but you put a caveat in here. Mike, you know, if you're not a contending team, you're avoiding. If I'm not a contending team, I'm selling. You know, when you have a running back that's nearing 30, that's what you do at this point as a rebuilding team. And if I'm selling James Conner just to get right to that, you know, I'm looking for a second round pick. I'm looking for like a mid to late second round pick. I don't think you can get much more than that. But if you're looking, you know, at a late second for a contending team, that seems like a fair deal for both teams. You get to re-roll the dice. You probably get to pick up Marshawn Lloyd, which is going to help your team out a whole bunch at the running back position in the future. They get James Conner, who can help out their team right now. But if I'm a competitive team, I'm absolutely holding on to James Conner. You know, Trey Benson is there, and I think Trey Benson is the future of that backfield. But James Conner is still the present of that backfield, and he's going to be the one that is getting the boatload of the carries, the touchdowns, the receptions still. For that team, which I think is ascending. You know, they got Marvin Harrison Jr. Kyler Murray is healthy. He showed that when he came back last year, he looked great. Honestly, it wasn't like he took him a long time to come back. You know, we've seen some quarterbacks come back from injury or time off the field, like Deshaun Watson. When he came back, he did not look good at all. He still doesn't look good. But Kyler came back, he looked good right away. I think that offense is going to be productive. I think James Conner is going to be a large part of that, and he's been pretty healthy over the past couple of years. So I'm still on James Conner as a contending team.
I'll avoid if not contending, but, you know, obviously agreeing with you, reasons for holding if a contending team. I just think I could look elsewhere. I think the values you gave me are fair. I do. I don't know if people are going to want to pay it, but I will say this. If you're selling, you're selling a guy who had his highest ever rushing total last year, despite missing 4 games. That was 1,040 yards. And he missed those games with a knee sprain. And 15.5 fantasy points per game.
It's productive. Very productive.
I think he'll be better with a full season of Kyler Murray if he does play a full season. Not the landing spot I wanted right now for Trey Benson, but overall, I don't hate it at all. Yeah. So let's move on to the next one. And that is Denver Broncos running back Javonte Williams. Nate, what are you doing?
Javonte, I'm avoiding him. Sorry, man.
I'm going to go ahead. I'll be that guy. I'll buy him.
All right. Well, maybe I'm not selling, depending on the situation, but maybe I'm selling to you. But so, Mike, tell me why you're buying him then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a believer. I've been a believer of Javonte Williams since he's come out, and I'm hoping that year two of the Sean Payton offense in Denver is more productive. Was Russ the problem? Was it Sean Payton? Was it just the marriage of the two? I don't know. You know, my big thing here is this. I like the player, and I feel like so many people are off of him that I could get what could be a potential three-down back for a good value. To me, this is a buy-low investment. If you're not a believer in a super flex league and players like David Montgomery, who's getting a little bit older, you know, mid-24 second, maybe you don't like what's in that range right there. Or if you're like, man, Tony Pollard really killed my Tajay Spears value, move Tajay Spears, frame it in one quarterback league, he's valued right now, and keep trade cut around Hollywood Brown. He's valued around Tua, although I might rather just hold on to Tua there in an early 24 second. So I'm still believing in Javonte Williams. Nate, I don't think you are.
No, you know, I think Javonte is still a decent hold if you're a contending team, but I'd also look to move off of him if I can get a good lateral move. You know, moving over to David Montgomery, I think, is a good move. You know, a mid 24 second, I would certainly consider depending on who's on the board and what my team needs. But I'm worried about Javonte. You know, it's his last year in his rookie contract. I don't know if he's going to be a guy that has proved enough to be re-signed to that team. And hey, we know that it's scary for running backs once they hit free agency. So as much as I have believed in Javonte in the past, and I think he'll probably have a pretty decent year this year, because I think we're going to see a lot of dump offs to Javonte, and that's probably going to give him a pretty good fantasy productive season. But also, Aldrick Estime is there. They drafted him in the fourth round. I don't think he's going to take over the backfield, but Sean Payton's been very, very optimistic and positive when talking about Aldrick Estime and using him on first and second down, which I think goes to show how Javonte is going to be used in the passing game, which would help him out with his production this year. But if he starts to lose touches on first and second down, we also maybe see him lose some goal line work to Aldrick Estime. That consistency week to week, it might be hard to come by.
Real quick, Javonte Williams or Aaron Jones?
Javonte Williams, because I think Aaron Jones, like I said earlier with Josh Jacobs, that was a very productive, very efficient offense last year. Aaron Jones is getting up there in age. I don't know if the Vikings offense, as much as I love JJ McCarthy, I don't know if they're going to be as efficient. They certainly haven't been a good run team the last couple of years, so we'll see.
Sam Darnold, though, to start the season.
Either way, their run game has not been good recently.
It hasn't. It hasn't. Maybe Alexander Mattison wasn't the problem after all. So that is going to do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Hey, be like Nate. Buy a really cool Dynasty Rewind shirt. So until the next time, everybody. For Nate, I'm Mike. Thank you for listening. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code Rewind. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.